This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Ted Johnson's in the house.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Ooh, flowery, bright shirt.
Yeah, man. Excited to come to work today. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, you're all jazzed stuff. Up. You're like me. You must have got a good night's sleep.
I did. Thank you.
Yeah, it really matters.
Sleep is a big part of just your overall mental health, if you did not know that.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Pain is also.
Pain is another one.
My back's been bothering me lately, and I think that makes me cranky.
Okay.
Just an FYI.
I can help you out with that.
That's what's been doing that? That's good to know.
You've had a bad back for 30 years.
And to tie this all together, I think I need a new mattress. I think that's the issue. My back hurts. I'm not sleeping as great, and boom.
You don't
I'm
sleep on your stomach, do you? Do not sleep on your stomach. That will lead to back problems. You don't want to do that.
But when I'm on my, I've been having to put like a pillow under my knee and like lift it up.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I got a little like sciatica or something going on with my right side.
Chiropractor. I got some good exercises for you to do, some stretching. We can talk about that. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. I gotcha. But that is not what time it is. It's not Dr. Ted giving us advice on sciatica. It is time for the 3-point stance.
319.
Ready.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for the 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. And today's 3-point stance is brought to you, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident or your back hurts and now all of your coworkers have to deal with it, you got to get Glassman. And you can do that by calling all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, I know you're fighting through it today, man. Are you ready?
No, I am damn ready.
Okay, well, I can damn well tell you your 60 seconds start now.
So when Jason Tatum went down and was pinwheeling around on the floor with a torn Achilles tendon, I think a lot of people thought, oh no, this is terrible for the Boston Celtics, short term, long term. Well, guess what? Short term, it was irrelevant. You were going to lose the series anyway. Long term, it is a tremendous thing for the organization and for Brad Stevens. Indeed.
What?
Indeed. You are going to get Jason Tatum back sometime a year plus from now. He's in his mid-20s. He'll rehab. He'll recover. He'll be fine. But this created the biggest opportunity that Brad Stevens could ever have, because if they had just lost to the Knicks, this was going to be a weird offseason. I think he was going to struggle with what to do. There was going to be public sentiment. You can't tear it down. You can't blow it up. Now you have a bridge year, a lost year, whatever you want to call it. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can trade Jrue Holiday. You can trade Kristaps Porzingis, two guys who we're looking old or unavailable at times this season. You can get younger. You can get better. You can swing for the fences so that when Jason Tatum comes back, you will be the best possible version of a basketball team that can compete not just that year, but for years to come.
Oh.
The dynasty was petering out in Boston. It's just going to take a pause and then have a reset. Brad Stevens, go do it, buddy.
Weak sauce. Something was missing in that.
What?
Something was missing. A name.
Wow, you got weak sauced by 10. It's not even 3-10.
Don't you worry. We'll get back to it because there are trade rumors and opportunities on the horizon.
Are you out of your mind?
It's not Jrue Holiday.
We want Giannis.
There is a big fish to fry, and I like fried fish suddenly. But go ahead, Dan.
We'll get back to that, as everybody seemed to state. Before we do that, we'll hand it to Fitzy. And I ask you, my friend, are you ready?
I am. That's kind of like pets and kids on stage. That's a tough act to follow, but okay.
Well, best of luck to you in your 60 seconds, which begin now.
Okay. So when it comes to the 2025 New England Patriots, we have all gotten out ahead of our prediction skis and said that they're going to win 10, 11, 12. Some people even saying 13 games this year.
Don't speak for everybody.
Many of us, I said, excuse me, and the rest of us are actually glad Jason Tatum got hurt, which is why we're terrible people with bad backs. However, I will say this. I'm not sure about Ted. I'm going to still stick with my prediction for 10 wins on the season. However, the way that I think that they're going to need to get to that is not the way that you and many Patriots fans believe they need to get to that, which is, of course, on the arm of Drake May. We have no idea what's going to go on with this wide receivers room. I can't even tell you more than three receivers that are a lock for the roster right now, and that barely even digs into the Steph Diggs dilemma. Stop worrying about the wide receiver dilemma. Worry more about your quarterback. And what's a quarterback's best friend? Well, sure, it could be good receivers. Yeah, it might be an offensive line, but it's a really solid running game. So my prediction is this. The New England Patriots will get to their 9 or 10 wins this season thanks to a really strong running game. If the Patriots want to fulfill the prophecy, if the Patriots want to be the best version that they can be in year two for Drake May, year one under the third stint for Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel's first year as coach, they will make sure they have a really strong running game. And later on, I'll give you exactly what year I'll point to.
All right. There are a number of intriguing options in the run game compared to the pass game, which seems to be crumbling as the days go along, despite it only being May. But that's okay. It was nothing serious in Stephon Diggs' little baggie. All right. Onward we trudge to Ted Johnson. And I ask you, are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
All right. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right. So I'm trying to think, you know, if I was the manager of the Boston Red Sox, what would I do to get this team kind of straightened out? I mean, they are, what, four games under 500, mm-hmm. or 9.5 games out of first place. It's a lot of little tweaks, a lot of little adjustments, but it needs a jolt. Mm. It needs a real jolt. Mm. And it dawned on me, and this idea was put in my head. We'll play some audio from Ron Darling in a little bit. But the more and more I hear about the problem with the Red Sox, most national pundits always kind of look at Rafi Devers and his rigidness, if you will, to not maybe even consider playing third, but also not consider even playing first. People in the business look at that as a selfish move, and Ron Darling has some great advice, and I think it would go a long way. If you want to turn this thing around, what a huge sign it would be for Rafi to just pick up his glove and go play first base, or if they need him at third place, do that. Do whatever it takes. Whenever the best player sacrifices, shows that he's not above the team, the rest of it just trickles down. It would go so far in maybe perhaps turning this thing around if Rafi Devers would figure that out. But the time is now. I'm not sure he's going to do it. But to me, if I'm Alex, I am talking to Rafi, and I'm saying, dude, I know what I told you at the start of the season, but things have changed, and we need a jolt, and you doing that would be a huge go-a-long way with this young team.
Nope.
Boom. That's it.
Right under the buzzer.
What was that, like 2.5 minutes? Just because he's bigger, he gets to go longer?
Nine people left the basketball court. Ted was still burying threes out there. Jeez. Like, I got this comeback just started.
I'm not saying no. I know
what buzzer?
I know there's a piece of glass in between us, but I'm not taking my chances.
Don't apply. I don't mean that. Sorry about that.
That's right. He cashed in his three-time Super Bowl champion bonus. Thank you, Ted. On the table, Brad Stevens in his unique opportunity, because thank goodness Jason Tatum got hurt, right, Andy? Mm. The run-first offense and the potential for the Patriots and Rafael Devers grabbing a glove and going to play first base. Yep. All of you nearly jumped out of your respective chairs to talk about Brad Stevens and the opportunity in front of him. So, Ted, I want to talk to you, and I want to ask you your reaction to Andy Hart's three-point stance on the Celtics.
Andy had a nice little three-point. I didn't mind it. Yeah, it takes a little bit of pressure off of Brad Stevens. You got some chips that you can deal, and you get a little bit of time because JT's going to be hurt for a year. But you mentioned Drew Holiday as a possible trade. You mentioned KP as a possible trade chip. No, Jaylen Brown. You didn't say Jaylen Brown as a possible trade chip. And I would be more open to, with the right opportunity, trading Jaylen Brown more than you are, obviously. Well, but for you to not maybe put that on the table is, I don't know. I think Brad, don't you want to see what he could get in return for Jaylen Brown?
I'm absolutely. Go listen, and there are a couple that would be intriguing.
So you think he is touchable? You can trade him. He's not untouchable.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be limited deals. I've already said one. I'll trade in my Jaylen Brown jersey for a Cooper Flagg jersey.
We
happy to do that. And now, I guess we can get into this.
I cannot believe you would do that.
Why would I not do that?
You said he was your guy. Where's the loyalty? Where's
the
love?
He is my guy, but he's not really my guy. We're not like family or anything. This is business. This is sports. And if he makes my basketball team better and, you know, makes them better for a longer period of time, sorry, JB, it's business. And I think he knows it's business. He runs a sneaker company, an apparel company. He knows it's business. He cashed in when he could. Like, that's business. He gets it.
Do you think Brad should go ask Jaylen Brown?
No.
I don't think that'll go well.
Okay. You don't think, but that maybe you go to JB and be like, hey, man, do you want to be, you know, your own man? Like, do you want to go run your own ship? Yeah.
No, I think he needs to be very Belichickian if he does this. The first time we hear of Jaylen Brown going somewhere needs to be when he's on his way to the Logan Mankin style, Richard Seymour style. Yep. There can't be whispers, reports. He needs to trust people for some or the Lakers. The Lakers and the Mavs, when they worked that deal, right? Like,
nobody
it was out
knew
of
that
nowhere.
Was coming.
That's what Brad Stevens needs to do. Because if it leaks out, if we're doing stories on it a week before.
Yeah, you're toast.
And yeah, that will not go well. But we'll get into it a little bit more later. We're not going to do it all right here. But this Giannis thing, we have some Windhorse audio that's going to talk to us about the Celtics could be in play for Giannis. Mm-hmm. And I hate Giannis. I just want to tell. I hate Giannis. I've always hated him. But I've also come full circle.
You called him a dink the first time I ever learned of this. We were doing a Saturday show, and you were like, Giannis is such a dink.
He's a bully dink. Just because he's the biggest guy on the court, he runs people over. No. But, Ted, it has come to me now.
Bully dink.
I think I'd take him with the Celtics because I think this team could use a little bully dinkness to it, and it would change the way. The one thing we know with Giannis is what? What is he not going to do?
He's not going to shoot the ball.
He's not going to shoot the ball. He's not going to shoot threes.
He's not going to shoot ball. And you hear that, Dan? You're going to be fine. He's not going to shoot ball.
Well, I was going to say balls, and it sounded weird, so whatever. He's going to take it to the rim.
No, he can foist a three. I've seen him.
No,
he's
I
nailed
know he
threes
can. Before. But not there, many.
But that's
he,
not,
that's
obviously,
not
that's not his game.
He's not going to fall in line with the Celtic way. He takes it to the rim with authority. He's trying to run people over. He also likes to play fast pace. He'll get the rebound like his three steps, and he's at the free throw line looking to dunk it. They need an injection of that, and I don't know if it would work. Brad Stevens, this is on you. You're the big money basketball genius that everybody says is great. I don't know if it would work pairing him with Jason Tatum. But I'm now open to the idea that it's a creative way to force Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics to play differently, to play a different style of basketball. Because if you bring Giannis in, you can't just stand around and shoot threes anymore. That's not what he does. It would be the dumbest thing ever.
What do you have?
Well, Andy, I just want to let you know, our friends at StatMuse say that Giannis has attempted for his career an average of 1 3-pointer per game. Yeah. So somebody please don't tell that to Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, he went forever without taking one, and then he worked in.
He's terrified.
And again, I don't know if I would enjoy watching him, but I know right now I want them to. I was watching it last night. When you watch these games, the Knicks and the Pacers, and how quickly the ball gets up court and somebody's taking it to the rim and like going into the paint, you're like, wow, this is a totally foreign game to what the Celtics try to do when Jason Tatum walks the ball up the court.
They're a different style, I think, regular season versus postseason.
And I want them to be forced into a more aggressive Giannis-style basketball. See if it works.
What do you give up?
Well, we had a texter earlier that threw out there, JB and Derek White would be the player backbone of the trade. I don't know if you have to give up first-round picks. I don't know how it would work. Mm. Would I do that? Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Interesting because then Giannis would be your tentpole player for next year. Like, we're thinking this is a big year for JB on his own to run the team.
Yep.
Then it would be Giannis and the other pieces, and then the year after is when you'd find out, is this really going to work with JT?
Do you take the Dinks brother? Because that has to
No,
has
we're
to
not. Thanopoulos has
oh,
to stay in Milwaukee.
We're done?
We're not bringing Thanopoulos to Boston.
Okay.
No. We're done with, like, you know, Belichick hired his kids and all these nepotism hires.
Might
no,
be a package deal, fella. And listen, what's
then he's out. I don't really like him. So
he
I'm not bringing
on the
his
bench
brother.
And talk to J.D. Davison and your boy Shireman there and just keep them company.
We're not doing that. We're not bringing any family members. If you want to play for the Celtics, if you want to be on the better green, if you want to be on a team that wins lots of banners, if you want to play with J.T., that's all great. If you want to bring your brother with you, then go somewhere else because we're not taking your brother here.
I'm curious what you guys think, but I mean, it feels like, you know, they're saying that Giannis wants to go to a contender, right?
Yeah.
And the Celtics would kind of fit that. And he also wants to stay in the East. Where else in the East Is there a team that has assets to trade for him other than the Celtics? It pretty much feels like in the East, like they'd be the only team. Now in the West, you got maybe Houston, San Antonio. They might have the chips, the draft picks, or the or the players. But in the East, I think the Celtics are the only one to find it fits that criteria.
I can think of one team that has more than enough assets to trade for him for the next year and the year after that and the year after that, and it's going to be the 2025 NBA champion, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, why would you trade? You mess up the whole.
Changes everything.
Why would you bring him there when you're rolling like you're rolling?
Because you get greedy. Because you get a little greedy.
No.
Because it could unleash a super team the likes of which the NBA hasn't seen.
They have one right now. They have the super team. They're showing everybody they are the super team.
Yes. They're going to win the title, and they have all the draft picks. They can do whatever they want.
Boom. There you go.
There it is. Thunder. Dan Ball.
Yes, sir.
Will you take a nap in there? It's 3-point stance. You're supposed to be running the show here.
Oh, yes. Just like it happens every single day when we do that.
Step up. Do the big ball dance like we were talking about yesterday. Big ball dance.
Sam Cassell popularized that.
That's right. Should have known better.
Teddy, did you hear my victory? Quiz with Stiz yesterday?
You know what? I was on the phone with Senior. My pops.
Golly.
Bad so timing by him.
But now we're
three in a row, baby.
Five and five in a row.
No, four to three. But yeah, three in a row there.
Yeah, you're right.
So, boy.
Damn it.
Okay,
all right. So we have two other things that are on the table. We're going to get into the Patriots a little bit later. So, Ted, I know that there was some Ron Darling audio that we had. I also want to expand on this a little bit later on because we started with Red Sox. We'll probably get back to them at some point. But Stiz, if we have that, let's do the Ron Darling audio on Rafael Devers.
Well, it seems like a real stalemate where Devers and his people have become so stubborn about what was he feels done to him about taking his glove away. And certainly he said, well, you want to take my glove away? You can take my glove away. I'll be a full-time DH. I'll be Big Poppy. And he has been great offensively since that time. But more importantly, this is a team game. And he's paid the most money on that ball club. And if you remember, since the beginning of 2024, this team, which I just saw, is a very talented team with incredible young talent, has been a 500 team since the beginning of last season. And maybe because of this kind of dysfunction is the reason they're 500. Get your glove and get on the field. And it's time to represent not only yourself, but also your ball club. This ball club is at a breaking point where they need someone to step up and be a leader. Endeavors could provide that right now.
All right, Ted, your reaction to that? You brought that to the table.
I mean, I love it. I mean, it's so true. This team needs something like this to happen. It's bringing guys up isn't going to matter. Moving guys out of it's not moving guys up and down the batting order isn't going to. It's a show of sacrifice from your best player saying, you know what, I need to do this because it makes the team better. And that would go a long way for a team that has overnight become a very young team, an immature team. And so, to me, that it would be the best thing for this team is if Rafi did that. It shows a big sign of leadership that this team is lacking leadership in the biggest way.
Yeah, I'd like to win the lottery tomorrow, too. But, things don't always come to fruition. And
no, Ron Darling and Ted are right, Andy. Like, if you just... We've known this all along. All we need to do is see a little footage of Rafi Devers at least taking seven ground balls at first.
He hasn't
just
done
to
it.
Shut up the masses for a little while. I hate to say it, that what they need are results.
I don't want him
However,
taking ground
optics
balls
would
at
go
first.
A little further here than I think a lot of people agree.
Like, I don't give a rat's ass about the optics. We've known from day one he was the best option to play.
It's the optics for everything.
No, but it isn't. No. It's actually the lineup. I don't care about the optics. Like, I don't want to see ground balls at Fenway Park from some, like, guy on Twitter with his hand. Like, no. I want to see the lineup where he plays. Ron Darling started to say it. I thought he was actually going to say it, and he didn't. Devers plays for the old cliche. He plays for the name on the back, not on the front. He doesn't give a rat's ass about the Boston Red Sox.
He needs to start giving a rat's ass, is my point.
But why is that, as the old joke is, why is that leopard going to change its stripes? Like, why is he going to do that now? Isn't he who he is?
You know what? Until he's not. Yeah, until he's not. Yeah,
Touché!
He is who he is until
Touché
he's not.
Today.
I mean, you could all of a sudden, just because you've been one thing for your whole life, it doesn't mean you can't change. You wake up tomorrow, you want to change behaviors, you can decide tomorrow to change them.
But what's the impetus for it? Like, who is going to? Because
the impetus is that it will create a positive spark, and the guys will see, okay, he's sacrificing. I need to sacrifice. I need to dig in. This means something to him. Mm-hmm. Winning is important to the best player. Right now, it doesn't look like winning is the most important thing to Rafi Devers.
See,
they need to see that the best player is invested in winning.
I agree with all of that. The part I don't see is him changing.
Okay. Well,
like they need to see him, but what is going to make him change is my question. Because I just think this is sort of beating your head against the wall. We all want it. The whole world. Alex Cora wants it. Breslow wants it. John Henry wants it. Fitzy, Hart, Johnson. Everybody wants it except the one person that matters and maybe a couple. Ron Darling sprinkled in his people. He said something like that is Devers and his people. So maybe he knows that the agent is behind this or there's some people in his camp. Maybe if they change, maybe if he gets different advice. But right now, I couldn't agree with you more. That's what this team needs. I also don't think there is any indication that it could happen because Devers is who he is. And the other thing that worries me now is he's been hitting so well. He's been hitting so well. That law of averages tells me that he's going to stop hitting that well at some point. And if that coincides with him playing a little bit of first base, people will say, see, you put him at first and now he can't hit anymore. See what you've done? You've made the team worse. And it's like, no, maybe that just was going to happen either way and it just happens to coincidentally coincide.
His hitting
coincide.
Hasn't really, you know, proved to be, you know, the difference in the season.
No. But my point is I think people that are Devers supporters, if he goes to first and his hitting cools off even a little, they'll say that's why. You asked him to settle in at DH. He settled in at DH, and he was crushing the ball. Now he's cooled off. Why? Because you put him at first.
Like, I'd rather get to that point than not.
Dan Ball.
Worth noting that he is a sub-200 hitter since Alex Bregman went down with his injury. So maybe now is your time where you say, well, the bat's not doing it either. Let's shake it up and try something different.
And he's going to listen now.
See?
This time he's going to listen. This is the time.
No, I don't think he's going to either. I'm just saying that if there's a time where you can point to the bat not working at any time during the season, it was either March or now.
Yeah, no, his hitting is going to go down because Bregman's gone, so he lacks the protection. They're either going to walk him. You know what I mean? It's like he's
you mean they're not
to chase
scared
pitches.
Of Carlos Narvaez behind him?
No disrespect.
He's the
to
best
Carlos,
hitter on the team, for God's sake.
I don't think there is a fear factor with him. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we just dabbled in it. We'll give you the audio. There is a legitimate report out there that Giannis and the Celtics could be a thing. An opportunity for Brad Stevens. Is JB the trade bait? Or is there another star player, as one texter suggested, that the Celtics should trade for Giannis? Little Giannis talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox open up a three-game road series with the Atlanta Braves tonight. First pitch is at 7:15. It's Lucas Giolito against Grant Holmes on the mound. And here's your lineup. Jaron Duran leads off in left, and it's Rafael Devers, still your DH tonight, with Willier Abreu out in right. Carlos Narvaez is catching. Marcelo Meyer at third base. Abraham Toro at first. Trevor Story at short. Christian Campbell at second. And Seidan Rafael in center field, batting ninth. From earlier today, the Red Sox are calling up reliever Nick Birdie from AAA Worcester. In the corresponding move, Liam Hendricks has been added to the injured list. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand at 6:15 p.m. tonight. And Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Maloney have the call of the game. Last night in the NBA, the Knicks extended their season with a 111-94 win over the Pacers in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 6 of that series is Saturday night in Indiana. The winner of the series faces the Thunder in the NBA Finals. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Oilers doubled up the Stars 6-3 to win their series in 5 games to advance to the Stanley Cup Final. Game 1 of that series, featuring a rematch of the Oilers and Panthers, will be held in Edmonton on Wednesday night. The New England Revolution visits CF Montreal tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7:30, and the Patriots return to the field for OTAs today, their third and final day of team activities this week. And league news, the 49ers and Eagles are working to finalize a trade that will send edge rusher Bryce Huff to San Francisco for a mid-round pick, and the Dolphins have engaged in trade discussions with the Steelers involving former Patriots tight end John U. Smith. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
You have to look at the teams that could make a trade for Giannis that the Bucks would accept, and on the other side of the trade would have a contending team. So,
see, I don't
Boston
know
would be on
that
list.
Like that.
I agree.
Boston would be on the list.
I think New York would be on that list. There's some difficulties when you talk about aprons and second apron teams trying to make trades, and that's a reality. But there are some teams in the Eastern Conference you could construct an ability to get this done.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN, saying the Celtics could be a option for Giannis, as he apparently is going to sulk his way out of Milwaukee, because the NBA way, when the going gets tough, look for a new team that has better players and gives you a better chance to win. And
three straight exits out of the first round.
Yeah, they gave him Dame.
I'm out of here, man.
Didn't work, right?
They gave you a title, and that's all you get in Milwaukee.
Some people would say he was there longer than they thought, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was. There was rumblings before he re-signed with them, like, would he stay? It's Milwaukee, but...
All these guys have to, if they get drafted by their teams and they become superstars, they have to take that first contract, because the team that drafted them can give them the most money.
Right.
And so then they got, okay, I got to play this out for 2 or 3 years. So he's basically following the trend of most superstar athletes that are drafted, come into the league, and are great right away.
Yeah, especially in basketball, and this is the way. Like, I was thinking the comp would be in football. Josh Allen stays with the Bills and then can't win there and eventually wants to leave the Bills. I don't know if it'll happen or not. It seems like he is hell-bent on winning a Super Bowl in Buffalo. But
he's not going anywhere.
Who knows?
He loves
you never know.
It there.
But Giannis, if he's available, A, should the Celtics be interested? B, how do you get him here? I brought up, Ted forced me to bring up Jaylen Brown. You know, and Jaylen Brown and Derek White was posed by a texter. Then another texter said he thinks you should trade Jason Tatum. You're actually better with Jaylen Brown and Giannis because they might be more like-minded, and maybe you'd play this really physical, aggressive, up-tempo style of basketball. If you do that, I think you need a real point guard, because both bring the ball up, but I also think both are prone to kind of getting a little over their skis and turnovers and things of that nature. But first of all, the panel on the show, and Stiz, you can join in. I want Stiz's opinion on this, because Stiz is the super fan from Boston, like tried and true, so you boo Giannis because he's on the Bucks. Would you want Giannis on your Celtics?
Keep him away from my franchise.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Why?
Why?
Because, you know, not getting rid of Brown. It's not happening.
Okay, I like where your mind's at. I like where your mind's at. Good call. Good call. You're more loyal than I am, apparently, Stiz. I appreciate that. I just look at it and say, could it be a better brand of basketball for the Celtics? Would it make them a more varied basketball team if you have Jason Tatum still doing his thing and add Giannis, this dominant physical force of a freak?
Is the system the same as it's always been, which is chuck up a bunch of threes?
Well, it can't be.
Okay.
That
feels like such an ingrained philosophical kind of DNA type of system.
But what if it's four guys chucking up threes and one guy just driving as fast and as hard as he can to the hole?
And if that person is a 7'1" Nigerian Greek, like warrior god, I would gladly take his presence in a heartbeat. And Jeff Goodman was on the Midday Show earlier today, and he was speaking to the potential for some philosophical changes during the offseason for Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics. Does anyone think that possible?
No, nope. I mean, not unless they are forced into it.
It'd be the time to do it.
Yeah, but
I'm with you, Ted. I think now is the time to make some subtle tweaks and see if that works, because you're down your big guy next year.
I just think the system breeds such a soft kind of team. You know, just hucking up a bunch of threes is kind of soft.
Agreed, 100%. Except and it seemed that's like what they created and wanted.
Yeah, and they wanted the whole thing doing it that way. But they also were an elite defensive team, too. And you basically had kind of a cakewalk to it. So a one-off thing, but for it to be a sustained system year in, year out, I think it's a flawed system. I do.
I do, too, but I don't think they do, and that's the problem. I feel like I'm having the same argument here.
Maybe.
I want Devers to play first. I don't think Devers will play first. I want the Celtics to stop shooting as many threes and play a different style, but I don't see Brad Stevens and Joe Mazzulla sitting down and being like, our system's failed. We got
to
change it.
I guess in both scenarios, that's the easiest thing to do to get better and to create change, is for the person or franchise to change how they think.
Yep.
It's not how they play, or it's how they think they need
people
to change.
People are stubborn. People are very stubborn, especially people with big egos.
Hey, you spot it, you got it, brother. You know what I mean? That's the saying.
Wow. There's probably some truth to that. But I just, you know, to go to the Belichick example, I remember how many times I talked to him about your defense, the 3-4, the old 3-4 with big outside
defense,
line,
by the way. Thank
that
you.
Whole thing. And people telling him it was dated and you had to go in a different direction. People told me that in 1992 and I didn't believe them then. And people telling me that in 98 and people telling me that in 2001. And I show them that it's not. Like, that's the mentality that I think coaches have with their systems and their proof, especially if they've won with it. Belichick had had success with the Giants and with the Patriots. He'd won with it. Joe Mazzulla has a ring, right? He has a banner. He can put his ring on and then point to the sky with that finger with a big ring on it to a banner that says his system works, correct? Like, it was validated. There was a stamp of validation. I don't see them saying, nah, you know what we need to play more like? We need to play more like the Pacers. Because everybody goes, well, what are the Pacers want?
But besides just stylistically, there's financially a lot of hurdles. So they're $20 million over the second apron. They have to get under the second apron. They'd have to shed $74 million in salary to get under to just even make the deal with Giannis.
Which is I probably need to go to a podcast for this or Dan Ball, one of the two, because those are my, you know, dry information. They come from podcasts or Dan Ball. But
there you go.
I love how Windhorse just says, you know, there's some hurdles with the
aprons.
There's
a lot of hurdles.
And then he just kind of he just goes right past it and says, but there's teams that could do it if they want to. Like, I don't know the new second apron or any of this crap enough to know.
I can read you a little bit.
So, like, why? What are the limitations on the Celtics? If they want to trade for Giannis, can they?
Okay, so this is straight from Mass Live, B-Rob.
Okay.
Kind of explains this when it comes to the Celtics trading for him. He says that Boston cannot take back more salary than they send out in a trade while over the second apron, and they also can't aggregate players, which means combined salaries, in a deal over the second apron. Once Boston drops under the second apron, which can technically happen after the competition of a trade, aggregating salaries would be permitted. So you have to, again, get under it. They're $20 million over it. They'd have to get under it by $74 million to then add $54 million of what his salaries to still be under the – if you want Giannis and still be under the second apron – you got to shed a lot of salary to make that happen.
So you got to trade Drew Holiday and or Kristaps Porzingis and then make the trade for Giannis.
Yeah. Holiday and Hauser cover the bill?
But doesn't JB and Giannis make like the same amount of money? JB probably makes more.
They can. Giannis makes
a little
he
more.
He makes a million more.
So there's got to be a way to finagle that if it's basically a one-for-one swap, no?
If you're under the apron.
If you're over the apron, you can't
under,
do it at
they're
all?
Over the apron right now.
No, I know they're over the
they
apron.
They get under the apron, they have to shed a lot. And
so
then,
they have to be under the apron to make a
correct.
Trade.
There
they can't
you go.
Make. So what was Windhorse talking about?
He's you know what? That's a good question. I don't know.
He was just being like flashy.
Saying, he's just not giving you all the details of what would it take to make it happen. Nobody wants to hear that. They just want to hear, do you want Giannis for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, the devil's in the details.
The devil is in the details, my man.
Yeah.
That is a Tufts educated person right there.
Right here.
My man.
Jumbo for life. World champion Division III lacrosse players.
But do you guys think there's like an opportunity for Brad Stevens to kind of make a drastic change?
Yeah.
Right now. Like you just see,
I think there's a better chance he makes a drastic roster change than a drastic philosophical change. Now, if it's Giannis, I think that probably goes hand in hand. You kind of have to change your philosophy. But yeah, I think he, and that was the point of my 3-point stance. I think had you just lost normally or even gone around further and then lost, whatever, there would have been this weird keep it together, try one more time. Now I think the freedom is there.
The one thing we might be overlooking, though, you trade for Giannis this year, you basically have him 1 year without JT. So it's like, it's kind of a wasted year.
But he's a good enough player. You're going to be in the same position you are with JB, I feel. You're going to be a playoff team with Giannis. If you have Giannis and a cast.
You're not going to be a contender.
No. Either way, you're not going to be a contender this year.
Giannis wants to go to a contender.
Well, yeah, but he knows he's doing like the Kevin Durant thing, like wait a year, dream I'll play with Tatum. He can't have everything. He wants to play in the East because the West is going to be hard, basically, right? Is that the argument?
That's the
argument.
There's
too many good teams in the West.
That's the argument.
So if you want to be in the East and you want to contend, then come join Jason Tatum a year from now to contend for a title and go to beat the team from the West. 617-779-7937. Stiz does not want Giannis. What about you, Boston? Do you want Giannis with the Celtics? Would you trade JB to get it done? All those questions in front of you here on WEEI Afternoons. We also have to get to the Patriots, where Ted Johnson has already started. Beep. beep, beep, things backing up a little
things
bit. It's only
things
May, and he's lost his way. Ted Johnson will explain how he feels about the Patriots up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Drake May's a great quarterback, has a good team around him now. I can see him being a top five candidate for MVP in the future, maybe year 3, 4, 5 or something along those lines. But he's not going to be a top five candidate this year.
A little too soon. He's well on his way of becoming a good football player. He can't throw him great yet.
No.
There's too many variables in this sport for him to just have that crazy of a leap. New offensive coordinator, so he's going to be juggling new protections, new calls, new language, new players to get used to. Let's pump the brakes. Let's just try to make the playoffs before we talk about MVP.
Who are these two dudes arguing with?
You know what? Guys that don't live here. Guys that live out there somewhere. That
out there is right.
That
way
don't follow
out there.
Don't follow the team on a day-to-day basis. That's what you get.
Has one person, you're as optimistic as anyone, Ted, about Drake May and the Patriots. I didn't hear you once say he was going to be a top five MVP candidate.
That's crazy.
Like, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, it is crazy talk.
And yet Gronk is arguing with it like somebody said it. And no one has said that. Even the Drake May in his dream of dream worlds, like if he got his birthday wish, is probably thinking, well, there's Lamar, there's Josh Allen, there's Joe Burrow, there's Patrick. Well, I'm probably not going to be a top five MVP candidate. I'll just make the playoffs and be good and be a young star.
I would hope that he could be like a top 15 this year. A top 15 quarterback would be something I would shoot for if I was him.
Well, some think he was QBR last year. I believe he was like 17th in the NFL, which includes running and all those various other whatever aspects. I think he was 17th in QBR. So, yeah, that's a reasonable goal. I think you could even say, shoot for top 10.
Well, shoot
for
absolutely.
Right? But top five is just not happening. Not happening. It is whoever you want to put. There's four spots that are taken that are locked down until proven otherwise in the top five.
There's too many good quarterbacks right now, especially in the AFC.
And also, probably before we start talking about MVPs and top fives, maybe, just maybe, I'm throwing this out there, Fitzy, just an idea. Have one OTA practice where the media doesn't say you suck, because he's had two that were open to the media and he sucked in both.
So, or just have two in a row where they say he's been good.
No. I don't even
competent,
who's
successful.
They? You mean media, right?
And the four interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
State media,
ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Peter.
Because the media hasn't said it yet. The only person that said he was good was Reese's source at the session that no media was allowed
correct,
to watch.
Correct.
Which,
at the Kim Jong-un session?
The Kim Jong-un session, the Putin session. Putin down at Putin Place down there in Foxborough.
Mike Reese's picnic?
Mike Reese's picnic. No, if Mike Reese's picnic had been there, he would have seen it. But Mike Reese's picnic wasn't there. It was just Putin Place
Putin
down
place.
In Foxborough. I still don't believe that. He's off to a bad start. There's no other way to put it. No. And I'm not going to, like, the sky isn't falling. I'm not off the Drake May train. But he's not off to a good start.
What is that?
What?
Why is he off to a bad start?
Because he's a young quarterback with a new offense and a new coach and receivers who aren't that good, that he doesn't probably even trust that they're going to be in the right spot at all times. He's got an offensive line that can't block the guys in front of him that know it's 3rd and 10 and they're getting after him.
And?
That felt like a lot. You need more?
I'm hoping you get to where I want you to go, which is he's got an offensive coordinator. And one thing a new offensive coordinator that I worry.
Yeah, I said that. That was in there.
Oh, my bad.
I said it fast.
But did you say that can be arrogant at times and maybe it's all about his system? And I think sometimes Josh McDaniels
did not say that.
Does not just kind of take baby steps. He's got to show you how smart he is and how – you know, how complex the system
Ted,
is.
Let's have a conversation off air about this, too, about Josh McDaniels and maybe a potential role on WEEI Afternoons in the future before we go too far down this road.
Okay. All right. But look, so I just think he's the guy that can be not the easiest to kind of maybe work with as far as
agreed
system goes. So I think that's maybe part of it as well.
But should that be showing itself in week one? Like, shouldn't week one be very, like, we're on the first page of the playbook and then the second. I saw your old playbook had the huddle in it. It was like a high school playbook. It had the huddle and I was like, wow, they really started the
page
basics.
One of page 1,000.
Yeah. No, I know, but literally it's like started over.
That's right.
If you want to know if you're the right guard, here's where you are in the huddle. If you're like,
my guess is Josh is over. He looked over that part. He's like, you know what? You guys know how to huddle, which maybe he's going too fast. Maybe he needs to slow it down. He needs to teach him how to get in the huddle.
But Mr. Josh McDaniel,
this is not stunning to me that he's not off to. Now, did I expect him to throw four interceptions? No, I didn't expect that. I would never expect that. But to say that there's going to be a growth period here, expected, right? With all these changes. And maybe he and Josh do need to get on the same page, learn each other. Maybe Josh... Now, I'm hoping Josh is doing what we were told and I was told that he was doing, which was streamlining and modernizing and pulling from other offenses that are more modern for young quarterbacks, athletic, all those things that we heard. I'm hoping he's not just saying, mimeograph the Tom Brady offense, which had 6,000 pages and adjustments, and here, Drake, I need you to be Tom Brady, because he's never going to be Tom Brady. He can be different and good, but he's never going to be Tom Brady. So I hope you're not right about that with the ego and sort of force-feeding this system. Fitzy, are you in any way, as the super fan, the Foxborough faithful representative here on this program, are you
in, am I?
Yeah, you've been less faithful in recent years, but we need your faith, reinvigorated
not faith. Not so much anymore, but that's for a future debate.
What is your reaction to two practices that have the media, and two times we get reports of either interceptions, you know, bad throws, Curran's tone yesterday, like any concern with where this is right now?
Major concerns? No. Slight concerns? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would probably put it at, if we're going to go 0 to 10, I'd put it at a 3.5. I wouldn't go like beyond DEFCON 4. I mean, it probably, if anything, just points to the difficulty that anybody may have picking up the Josh McDaniels system. Now, and potentially the talent around him, and I know we'll get to that at the top of the next hour, but, you know, Drake May is a smart dude. Like, what, everything that we talked about last year, the processing, the ability to pick things up at a rate even no other coordinator or coach was prepared for. He's so smart, the way McVay and everyone else gave him tongue baths. I expect him to acclimate to this offense no matter how much Josh McDaniels has reconfigured it after this spiritual football journey that he went on for a year. It's just going to take time. We can't expect it to happen overnight. That's why I said in my three-point stance, and I have numbers that I can back it up with as well, the New England Patriots would be best served to lean on the running game more this year and not just thrust the entirety upon their laser rocket-armed, you know, wunderkind second-year quarterback.
All right, on the other side, we'll continue this discussion of expectations for the Patriots, their record, ESPN's Football Power Index, what they think, what Ted thinks. Also, that supporting cast that Fitzy just referenced. Just how good or bad is the group of players around Drake May on the offense? That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.